News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 23rd of December, Anno Domini 2007, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
At 7 minutes after the hour, welcome to the Rumball edition of Soundbites.
They're here. We can smell.
They're chewy. They're like fudge.
Listen carefully. That's the sound of a Rumball being eaten. Wow, these are good. Holy cow.
He opened the cover of them, and the whole room is now filled with this wonderful smell.
Just right. Don't light any matches,
as opposed
please.
To the usual smells.
Don't light any matches.
All right, let me say right now that we are not responsible for anything that gets said here today. None of the opinions that will be expressed are those of right-thinking human beings anywhere. And if you have any sensibilities at all, you will turn this off and go play Christmas music. No matter what your religious convictions, it's going to be better than what we'll be doing here today.
I put a good mixture in there. I mean, you get some of the chocolate cookies and the anise, and then rum balls.
Those go down very,
then some
very
more
smoothly.
Chocolate cookies and more rum balls. Then some anise cookies and more rum balls.
Yeah. My prediction, all the cookies will be left by the end of the show.
Okay.
My mouth is already numb. I've had half of one of these, and my mouth is numb. There's going to be cops sitting out by the garage just waiting for us all to
put
leave.
Put your hands on the steering wheel.
At 2:30 when we leave, officer. 2:30. We're leaving at 2:30. Don't. No need to come earlier. All right. Please give us a call. Save us. The Intuit users of Intuit's Macintosh version of QuickBooks Pro 2006 and 2007 were warned on Monday that an automatic software update flaw can eradicate stored files, documents, or folders from a desktop and hard drive. Intuit late Monday said it had fixed the flaw by correcting an internal server that had caused the problem. The company said the message should no longer appear to users opening up the QuickBooks application. In an effort to make amends, Intuit is offering users a copy of Data Rescue 2 from ProSoft Engineering, which retails at $99. Afflicted customers must first purchase the application, after which Intuit will provide reimbursement. Yeah, I've done all those reimbursement things. It's like 8 months before you get your money, if you get your money. Yeah. 90% of them come back. Oh, I'm sorry, you didn't fill this out correctly, so we voided you.
Did you say afflicted customers?
Afflicted? Afflicted.
Okay.
I've had a half a
rum
ball. Shut up.
Heard that right.
Shut up. In order to receive reimbursement, users are to obtain a fax number by emailing machelp@intuit.com with their full name, street address, phone number, email address, and a copy of the invoice receipt for the purchased Data Rescue 2 software, which means, of course, you have to buy a scanner in order to scan in your invoice in order to send it and get back all the data you need, which, by the way, if you're running your business on it, you need every week.
And you should have had a backup anyway.
Of course you should have a backup.
In fact, you should go back and read the whiners in the forum. Apparently, the problem happened late Saturday night.
Yep.
And people were posting Sunday morning, they haven't got back to me yet.
Yeah.
And Sunday afternoon, it's been 6 hours since I posted this error. Where's your response? Okay, it's a weekend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Holiday weekend.
And backing up half a step, the actual problem was that an erroneous update message came down from Intuit servers. So anyone that opened QuickBooks 2006 for Mac, and that was a big issue too, was it 2005, 2006, 2007? It was only QuickBooks 2006, not the personal QuickIn. Anyone who opened QuickBooks between Saturday night and Monday afternoon-ish got an erroneous message that there was an update available. It downloaded it itself. So there's several things involved. It said the update was available and downloaded it itself and tried to install it itself without asking for passwords. So there's a big problem.
Nice.
And the problem was there was something wrong in what the update did, and you got an error message that there wasn't enough space on your hard drive. You needed 100 bytes more space.
100 bytes.
Right. The problem was it downloaded a file called desktop, thereby deleting your desktop folder.
Nice.
So it overwrote your folder without asking.
Yeah.
So it's bypassing all the security built into the system somehow. So anything you had.
Good security then.
Yeah. Anything you had on your desktop would have been deleted, not just invisible. There were some early reports that it was invisible. No, it's been deleted. And so the fix that they're offering is this ProSoft's data rescue, which we've talked about in the past, has an undelete file scan that will try to undelete those files. That's as if you put them in the trash and emptied the trash. So it may not come back. If you've been using your computer since this happened and writing more files, it may not come back. So, and it's probably too late now if you've still been using your computer. We had several customers get hit by it. And there's also reports from Intuit that if you paid for a service to get it restored, they might reimburse you for that, too, rather than you buying the program yourself.
Well, that's nice.
It's that same thing. I've posted a link to the Intuit website for Mac users. There's a form there. You can email them, and they'll get in touch with you. But it struck me as so surprising that people expected an instant response on a weekend. Well, and part of the thing was, too, the first guy to report it. Okay, we haven't had any reports of that. The second guy, the third guy, the fourth guy, okay, maybe we'll look into it. Give them a day or two, right? Especially on a weekend.
Right.
But this eventually would have turned out to be every QuickBooks 2006 for Mac user. Especially come Monday morning when business started again. Right. First thing everyone would do is open their business accounts.
Right.
So it was a huge, huge mess in the industry.
Intuit has also made arrangements with Apple for users to seek assistance at Apple retail store Genius Bars. Make an appointment. They've been informed of the issue and be able to help you directly. The Mac geniuses will do their best to assist you in recovering your data, but there is no guarantee that they will be successful. So luckily, you've all got backups.
Yeah, and if you don't, you should now.
That's right.
Especially now.
Wait a minute. It says that Rob, do we have somebody on the line?
Oh, he's busy on the phone.
No,
he's,
it just went from screening to...
We have got a computer malfunction, so we're going to have to do things the old-fashioned way.
The old-fashioned way!
All right.
Imagine that, a computer malfunction on a computer show.
Hey. Unbelievable!
All right, so we're going to give this a try when you guys are ready, and I'll let you know who we have. Okay. All right, we're going to try this. Victor from Irondequoit.
Okay. Victor, what's your question?
Hi, I got two quick questions. One, when I go to shut down my computer, this window pops up that says WMS... Idle, I-D-L-E. I have to wait till that goes through there and it says end program. And I click end program and it shuts down. I'm curious why that happens. In seconds, on Zone Alarm, I get this, one of the programs says Windows error reporting. And when I go to allow it, it says don't do it or else your computer will crash. I'm just curious why.
On the idle one, have you gone into your power options and making sure that all the options in there are set to never?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, one thing that Windows doesn't like is the hard drive shutting down. Quite often, depending on the model of hard drives that are in the machine, some of them don't spin up after they've gone into sleep mode, which they're supposed to, and Windows has a big issue with that and can cause some problems.
Are you running a Nero CD burning software?
Yes.
This is a known problem with Nero causing this error message. The Windows idle process is kind of funny. It's a process that runs when nothing else is running.
Yeah.
To tell you your computer is idle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not just don't run nothing and let the computer be idle?
Well, that's the other thing, though, is like I was saying, though, in the power option.
Yeah.
That starts confusing things when, like you say, when you've got the Nero going and that's trying to check for anything going on because that periodically goes out and says, are you busy yet? Are you busy?
Right. Yeah. Or is there a CD in the drive? Is
yeah,
there a CD
it
in
constantly
the drive,
so. Keeps checking. It's a pain in the butt.
It is a known problem. Nero is working on it. Our suggestion at this point is shut down Nero before you shut down the machine, or just live with it till they issue the fix.
Well, I found a link where you can tell the background Nero task to quit running in the background, because that's the problem. It's not shutting
down.
Well,
if you go into MS Config, you should be able to take it out of there. Just don't have it running in the background.
It's an auto-run entry in the registry.
Yeah. All right.
Don't want them going.
Anyway, that's what you got to do. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Rumble Dave, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you. It's 16 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to the Rumble edition of Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 20 minutes after the hours, it's the Rumble edition of Soundbites. We have speculation in the forum, in the chat room, that the reason we have a computer problem is that Rob has been too close to the rum balls already this morning.
Yeah.
You know, normally I would be more than happy to admit that. I haven't had one. I've been too busy trying to fix everything around here.
And you can tell he's a little pork about that.
Well, you know what? Maybe if I have a rum ball, it'll fix easier. You know what I mean?
Who's on before you? We can blame them.
No, it's not their fault. It's the fact that it's a Microsoft machine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you.
Adobe Systems has shipped a an extremely critical patch to correct at least 9 cross-platform vulnerabilities in its ubiquitous Flash Player software. The APSB07-20 update fixes vulnerabilities that could allow complete system takeover attacks on Windows, Macs, and Linux. A malicious SWF must be loaded into Flash Player by the user for an attacker to exploit these potential vulnerabilities, Adobe warned on Wednesday. The company is strongly recommending that all users upgrade to Adobe Flash Player 9.0.115.0 on Windows, Mac, and Linux. Via the software's auto-update mechanism, a patch for Solaris will be issued later. My my network administrator who works for me, one of my minions at the E. Philip Saunders College of Business. Thank you. At the Rochester Institute of Technology. is a little porked off at all these version numbers because the software that we're using that does all of this automatically searches for the serial number, and 9.0.45 is higher than 9.0.115.
Right, because it's not a number because there's 2 decimal points.
Right. No, 4.5 is higher than 1.15 because the 4 is higher than the 1. Should be 0.45.
Right, yeah.
Right. It's right. It's not really a serial number.
Every time someone came out with a new system file, when the macOS went to 10.4.10 and went from 9 to 10,
right,
that annoyed everyone. So what do they think when it went to 11?
Well, ours goes to 11.
Yeah.
Well, that's one higher, isn't it?
Yep.
Our next caller.
There's a Flash About page. We have a link, adobe.com/product/flash/about. We'll tell you what version you're running.
Flash?
They must
How many rum balls have you had?
Slash products slash flash slash about, about for our Canadian friends. They must be European because I'm running version 9.0.47.0.
There you go. Or your system is set to reply to you in
European format. U.S. Open.
All right, the U.S. Open is probably not a format. Yeah. It's a whole other thing. Our next caller is Karen on a cell phone. Welcome, Karen. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Glad to talk to you again.
Always a joy for us.
I'm on a mission to get my computer working normally.
Yes, ma'am, ma'am.
Which may never happen. having shutdown problems.
Mm-hmm.
Only after I've been on the Internet.
Okay.
After I've been on the Internet, I can't go to start shutdown computer because I just get the hourglass running and it won't stop. I have to go to Task Manager and use the Task Manager to shut down. But that only happens after I've been on the Internet.
Anywhere you go on the Internet?
Yes, just the fact that I've made an Internet connection.
Do you get any error messages at shutdown? Or does it just hang?
And what browser are you using?
Firefox. But I also have, because I use People PC, I also have Internet Explorer open for the connection. And then I use Firefox as my browser.
So you're dialing up somewhere.
Yes.
It's probably some piece of spyware not wanting to let go of the computer.
Yeah.
And hanging shutdown.
Dial up dialer.
Sometimes what you can do is when it's hanging at shutdown, if you do Control-Alt-Delete, you'll get your task list and you'll be able to see what process is hanging. Like our previous caller that was running into the WMS idle process,
right,
hanging. Then you may need to Google that process name to figure out what it actually is and where it's from. And that might help you figure out how to stop that process from hanging the machine.
Right. But if you do have any sort of... What?
Sorry. I was just thinking the process list. Okay. I mean, there's hundreds of processes.
Yeah.
Right. One of them will probably say it's hung or something. Or it'll be taking all of your CPU.
Yeah. You'll see the percentage on that pretty high.
Yeah. Well, let me suggest that it's time for you to dance the security tango. Since you're on dial-up, it would probably be best to either have Dave sends you a CD or go and pick up a CD from his shop and dance the tango on that machine. Then from then, the updates you can download from online. That's a lot faster than downloading
and
the initial
That's one
software.
Thing we've done. Well, I can't say I've done, but my partner Dan has modernized it, that we've put a menu on it so that when you put the CD in now, and it automatically spins up and you can install the various things from that item.
So that's probably your best choice right at the moment, Karen.
Okay, I've got everything except AdAware, and last week you said to download Super
Anti-Spyware. Try using that. I'm finding...
Pardon? I did, and I ran it, and I only got a few tracking cookies.
So maybe just one of the regular Windows programs that are hung.
Yeah, right. Were you running it in safe mode?
Shouldn't have to.
No. So many things, for example, so many things hide in the
registry.
Not in the registry, in the...
The restore point.
Restore point, thank you. And it's at one rumble, and I'm already done.
Well, if usually, that's where we should change it out. One thing I've gotten in the habit of doing is automatically turning off the restore point.
It's in there.
Yeah.
Turn off system restore.
Yeah, but once you turn it off and then reboot,
well, and then in safe mode, it means that a lot of things aren't loaded. There are programs that will load themselves at startup and then actively battle against AdAware and McAfee. And in fact, the Russian Business Network, the RBN, back in the day when there was a USSR and all the stands were part of that, you know, something stand and something stand.
Yeah, Kazakhstan.
Right. Now they're not. And a lot of the great programmers, I mean, they had great programmers, have no jobs. But they were given jobs by the guys writing viruses. So some of the best programmers in the world now are earning their living writing spyware. The problem is they will not release a program until it beats McAfee, Symantec Norton, and Trend Micro. And a lot of them go farther and pick up things like AdAware and blah, 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 blah. But if you start in safe mode, they don't load in the background and therefore can't fake it out. So you need, that's one of the reasons I suggest in the Tango safe mode. So at any rate, Karen, I think you need to dance the Tango exactly the way it's written with all the turn off system restore and go into safe mode and all of that stuff. And that will help, I think. Do that. Let us know. Let us know. Thanks. All right. Do I have time for another call?
Yeah.
He's not talking to me.
He's pushing buttons.
He's pushing buttons. Our next caller is Richard in Rushville. Welcome, Richard. What's your question?
Yes, guys, I just first want to start with saying I've listened to your program for years and years, and it's great.
Thank you.
I'm calling for a friend from Washington State.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. You're going to be fixing computers all over the country.
Sure, works for us.
And I hope it's a simple one. She's got her house on wireless.
Uh-huh.
And her office at one end of the building is where her office is, and that's where the transmitter is. Her studio is at the other end of the house. And she's getting intermittent on her laptop, and she doesn't want to move her office or none of that stuff around. Is there some sort of a booster?
Yeah.
Yes.
You can either get a bigger antenna on your main base station to push the signal farther, or sort of halfway along the house, you can get a repeater.
Linksys makes a great
one. Yeah, several companies make it. It's often called WDS, Wireless Distribution System, where one of the wireless base station will pick up the signal from another base station and rebroadcast it to extend your range.
No wires included.
No wires. Well, there's a power plug.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Right. I've done it on one house where literally four floors were finished off. It was the basement was the office area, so they had the wireless down there.
Mm-hmm.
We wound up on the second floor putting one of these boosters because the kids, two rooms were finished off up in the attic for kids' room. And we did the booster on the second floor. It got the signal on up to the attic or third floor, and it was fantastic.
Do you think they have these out in Washington State?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. They probably filtered that far west into the great frontier.
If they can't dial up,
Your friend to call the nearest Clear Channel station and ask them why the heck we're not in Washington yet. We're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, Mina Francesco, and you. It's the head of Miggy Hoggabing. It's 30
rumble.
Minutes after the hour, and you're listening to Soundbites. You did not play this. Holy cow.
I want Grandma
Run over.
The second worst Christmas song there is.
Yeah, what's the worst?
The one that's playing.
Oh, yeah, I see. Right. All right, we're apparently back and having far too much fun. McAfee has taken two major steps toward closing the stock option backdating scandal that has plagued the company for the past 2 years. On Friday, the security vendor filed 10 years worth of restated financial reports, a process that was set off by the scandal. The company also said it had reached a tentative settlement in a class action lawsuit relating to its accounting practices. Charges for the restatement will be $137.4 million. McAfee has also set aside $13.8 million to cover lawsuits filed in 2006 on behalf of McAfee's shareholders. McAfee is one of more than 100 U.S. companies that have been investigated by the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission for improperly backdating of options. In backdating, companies would alter the date that stock option grants were made to certain employees so they could be purchased at a lower price and ultimately sold by the employee at a greater profit. The practice, while not illegal, was often improperly disclosed in regulatory filings, leading to SEC investigations of many high-profile companies, including Apple, Dell, and Broadcom. Earlier this year, McAfee's former legal counsel, Kent Roberts, was indicted on fraud charges related to the scandal. So McAfee in just a little bit of trouble. We're going to go back to the phones now. Our next caller is Fred from Irondequoit, New York. Fred, what's your question?
Nick, I have an external hard drive for backup.
Yep.
And I backed up my documents folder here a while ago, and I wanted to back it up again yesterday, and I have some trouble, so I deleted the my documents folder. It's called Drive F when it's hooked up. I deleted it all. They went into the recycle bin. The recycle bin filled up, so I deleted that. So then when I went back in to my C drive, everything's gone in my documents folder.
Uh-oh.
Were you using a synchronized program or a backup program?
Well,
or what was the name of the program you used to run the backup?
Well, it came with the MacStar drive. It's their own software, and you can synchronize it. But I'm not sure whether I had it synchronized or not.
You must have had it set to synchronize. So when you deleted from the external drive, it synchronized by deleting from your internal drive.
Okay. All right.
How can I
get that back?
You try to find an undelete program. Well, first of all, stop using the computer because anything you write delete more. It's the same thing with the QuickBooks bug we talked about earlier.
Right.
You need to find an undelete program that might be able to scan for deleted files and undelete them.
Okay.
Might is the key word.
All right.
We've got a couple of undeletes in our program list already.
Okay, well, thanks, and I'll try that.
Good luck.
Thanks very much.
It's very dangerous to run a synchronized program. Because you delete something from one drive, it automatically deletes it from the other drive.
Now, some of them, you can set it to sync in one direction only.
Right.
It's
dangerous going both ways.
Right. So I do that. So when I clean up my drive at home, it doesn't clean up the external. Actually, mine's over the internet. So my internet thing, every once in a while, I have to just blow the whole thing away and copy everything back over by hand because it's just...
Yeah, we've got customers that have several computers and want to synchronize their documents between several computers, so it doesn't matter which one they're using. And then so they'll delete something from one, it gets deleted from the other, and, well, where'd my file go? You deleted it. Yeah, but not on this computer.
Yeah.
You have a synchronized setup.
Right, and that is a real problem, so always be very, very careful of that. Our next
just never delete anything like me. I never delete anything, and I might need it.
All right.
I might put it in the trash, but I never empty the trash. So you don't actually have to empty your trash or the recycle bin in Windows until your hard drive is full.
Right.
So just leave it in there.
All right, Fred, check out those undelete programs. See what you can find. That should be the very first thing you run.
Yeah.
All right.
Unfortunately, the process of installing an undelete program might overwrite some of his deleted files.
It's possible.
So if you have, pull that hard drive out of that machine and install the undelete on another machine so you can undelete from that now raw hard drive.
Right.
Yeah. Just want to mess around with it because, in fact, we had one in the shop just this past week. I think the son was trying to cover his butt because he erased it and lost part of a partition. And I went to recover some of the stuff.
Yeah.
What'd you find?
Uh-oh.
It was adult porn. At least, you know, it was full, and I didn't think the parents wanted me to charge them for recovery. So,
we found this list of files. Actually, that goes back to the QuickBooks things. Data Rescue, you can download a demo copy of the program that will scan your hard drive, tell you what it could recover if you paid for it.
Nice. So, you got to love that.
Yeah. So you find a list of porn. I guess they probably don't want that recovered.
Well, we're looking for it, you know, because I'm doing the recovery on it, and I pull it up. And here's all these JPEGs, and it's being shown as thumbnails, and I'm there scouring, like, I don't think the mother wants to pay to get these recovered. So when we told her, you know, She goes, well, how'd you make out? And I said, well, I found some stuff, but I don't think it's stuff that you really wanted to pay for. You know, it was adult matter, and let's just leave it at that. And I'm just wondering, you know, I would have loved been a fly on the wall.
Yeah, right, all right. You know,
they're going to look at that. I mean, you know, I don't want to defend the porn, but, you know, get me up and going. You know, all you got to do is sit there and mention the child porn. And like I said before, I've turned four people in, and I'd do it again, even if it was my own brother. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. I zero tolerance for
it. I met your brother. He seems like such a nice guy.
He is once in a while.
Well, your brother-in-law.
Oh, that's my brother-in-law. Yeah, no, my brother.
Your brother-in-law you don't care about, no? Sorry.
Yeah, no, Ron. No, I know who you're talking about. It's my brother-in-law, Ron, and you met him. I worked down at the cottage helping them out. That was a good time.
He showed up at the public market yesterday. We have a coffee stand at the public market, Flower City Coffee Company.
And she got her selections on the web yet?
No, of course not. No.
Okay.
And she's not listening, I'm sure. But he showed up and talked about how good the rum balls were. So it's all about the rum balls today.
I sent a bunch of those home there, too. You know, we have all the cookies over in one area.
Yeah.
Got to keep them there. Because when you take the cover off the rum balls, after a couple of days, it does get potent.
I don't doubt that. I completely don't doubt that.
I mean, it's a good tub. It's got to be all right. 2.5 foot long.
2.5 feet of rum balls? Holy mother of pearl, those are
party
some
of
happy
house.
That's party what I was of days say. House.
Well, they're just about all gone.
Holy spatoli. Oh, I got to talk just for a minute. We don't really have time for another call. Hang on if you're on the line. We'll get right back to you. I got to talk for just a minute about the toy I got in the mail Thursday night. I got my one laptop per child, X01.
That we've been talking about.
X01, yep. It came. It's wonderful. I'll hold it up to the camera. There it is, my X01, the one laptop per child thing, OLPC. Laptop.org if you want to go see what they look like. It is so cool. Can't play with it much here. There's no open wireless and no wireless that I have the...
I can create wireless. How many years have we been trying this and I just thought...
One of us is an idiot. I don't know.
From,
maybe all of us total.
From my Ethernet, I can create a wireless network.
Well,
Hang on a second, please,
for a second? Here, I can get this up and running. Yeah. It is so cool. It's light. It's gorgeous. It's a lovely green color. It's a pretty neat toy. It's got... a microphone. I haven't yet told my daughter. It's got a camera.
I love the fact that it has what we used to know as logos, and that's wonderful for
the
kids.
It has logo in it. It also has Python if you want to do programming, so it's pretty neat. We're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 41 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites, 1180 WHAM.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
You know, there is such a thing as too much power, Rob.
Not a chance.
Thank you.
Now that the computers are working again, I got nothing else to do in here, so I'm going to find horrible Christmas music.
Yeah, there you go. That can't,
and
can't
a fine
be an
job of it you're doing.
Yeah.
Somebody told me, by the way, I wanted to pick a bone with you guys, that somehow video from the webcam in here ended up on YouTube. You guys wouldn't by any chance happen to know how that happened, would
no,
you?
No, I truly wouldn't, but now I'll go find it.
Yes, I'm sure you will.
Excellent.
One of my students at Greece told me that.
Excellent.
Nice. Huh. Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Well, as I said, there was a cartoon on this week. Grandma got run over by a reindeer. My son was watching. And it's Santa runs over Grandma and takes her off to the North Pole to recuperate. And it turns into a corporate espionage, kidnapping. The niece is trying to take over Grandma's company. And this is a kid's cartoon?
Nice.
And it ends up in a trial with Santa on trial for kidnapping and leaving the scene of an accident.
All right. We're going to go to the phones now and actually take a call. We have Eric calling. Is this correct? You're calling from Stoughton, Mass?
Yes, it is.
Happy How are you getting our signal in Stoughton?
This newfangled thing on, it's called the internet.
Oh, those intertubes.
Oh, he's streaming.
No, internet.
They're not clogged out there where you are?
No.
Wow. How cool is that?
Yeah. Happy holidies, gentlemen. I am a longtime follower of the Church of the Soundbites.
Thank you. That's what we like to hear.
I have a comment. I am a fellow computer field engineer, and I have a request. Uncle Dave, how about putting out a CD of your weekly rants and raves?
I love hearing war stories.
Sounds like a job for the audio guy.
Yeah, it sounds
yeah. Chris Reich.
I just create them. I don't right. do.
Chris Reich, who has recently joined the Soundbites family and has generously, unbelievably generously, offered his time, his talent, his ability, and his odd but fits right in sense of humor to the Soundbites crew. He's the guy who records the show every week. Puts together the podcast, gives it to Steve to upload. God love him. He's terrific.
Thank you.
He's been doing this completely gratis. And you need to know you will always do it completely gratis.
I understand. So anybody, yeah.
Just like us.
I understand well how these things work.
Yeah. So if anybody's going to do it, it will be Chris. And it's an excellent suggestion.
On top of that, you guys are behind a couple of weeks on your podcast. And that's how I listen to you when I can't catch you on a Sunday, is I burn it to my BlackBerry, and I just listen to the show while I'm at work or on the road. Why aren't you guys up to date? I have got to go back 2 or 3 years just to keep my fill of sound bites.
It's horrible,
right,
isn't it?
Right now, there is one gap. The show of the 9th, I've not yet finished editing, but it should be done within the next 48 hours.
I haven't skipped the week to put the last week's show on because I didn't want to skip a week because everyone. So if I skipped a week, everyone would complain. So, and if I wait, everyone complains.
Right.
We're damned if we do
It's the holiday season. We're busy.
Right. But we will get them up. I appreciate that. We will get them up.
And let me say, for the show of the 9th, I was going to say due to a technical error, except that I'll be honest and fess up. Due to human error.
There you go.
I'm raising my hand. The first 90 seconds or so of the show is gone. Lost to posterity, so it will be, when you turn it on, it will be, you'll be listening to the show in progress.
There you go. You only, for 90 seconds, you're only missing me talking about the show. All right, Eric, keep listening and ask your local Clear Channel station why the heck we're not carried live. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 49 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, 1180 WHAM.
Yes, officer, it seems my husband's been abducted. The man was wearing a blue leisure suit, and the plates were from Kansas. He was a huge, beastly, bulging man.
Welcome back. I think I'm Nick Francesco.
That's from Christmas Vacation.
I know.
No, you didn't know that.
Okay. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 54 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites. Well, kiddies, it's that time once again. Get your footy jammies on, grab your mug of hot cocoa, sit in Zazen in front of the fire.
And this time he's asleep from the hangover.
And, right, and if we can rouse him from his drunken stupor, from his rumball stupor, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave.
No, I don't need no stinking rumballs.
Yeah.
I made them. I get high enough just doing that.
Oh, yeah, I bet you're standing there. Cooking them.
Yeah, how many didn't make it into the oven?
Yeah.
You know, you realize we're eating his leftovers?
Yeah.
No, you know, that's one thing, though. To be honest with you, I spent 2 days of baking. I didn't touch one of them. Good. I can't while I'm doing it.
Yeah, because otherwise they're all going to end up looking like we look right now.
Get back to, you know, I know it's the holidays. I should be pleasant. But damn it, sometimes people shouldn't own computers. Hello? I really got into the new meaning of RTFM. And if you don't know what that means, email me and I'll tell you. Because some
read
folks
the manual
are
first.
So dumb, and they sit there and say, well, I thought you were a computer guru. Well, hello, I thought you knew enough how to operate a computer. And, oh, the simple task of, like, turning up the volume because you can't hear something. And they sit there and say, well, shouldn't that have already been done?
Yeah, my computer's broke. I can't hear the music.
Well, no, this moron who shouldn't be allowed to work a computer brought back in, well, I thought you guys were technical gurus. I guess it's overstating it. Well, hello? What's wrong with you just turning it up? It was so low. He was getting sound. I mean, even when it brought it in, we heard sound. It just wasn't loud enough. And, oh, hello? There's a little microphone or whatever you want to call it. Amplifier down in the lower right hand corner, you click on it and you boost it up. It doesn't take a mental midget to figure that out. And if you can't, bring your computer in. I'll gladly keep it and sell it for you, because you shouldn't own one. I mean, geez Louise, I know, you know, I tried. Some folks just try my patience. You know, and I try to be friendly. It's the holidays. And, you know, and I'm very thankful, folks. You know, I mean, it's through you folks. And, you know, we've had a great run here right now. We're already done 18 years. We have a lot of fun, you know, and we get to meet and talk to a lot of great folks over the years. I can't think of the amount of folks that we've had the pleasures of doing them with. And that's why we come back each week. It's you folks that keep us going, and we love doing it, or we wouldn't be here and doing it as long as we have. And it's just a great time. You know, I don't want to sound like I'm a, you know, complaining SOB, because I really do appreciate you folks out there.
Well, that was,
you know, and I know I speak for the both of you guys.
Yes, you do.
That was one of my first, I guess, success stories as a computer technician, hanging out at Leon's, just hanging out at Leon's, yep. What, 20 years ago now?
Yeah.
Someone brought their Apple II in. And it wasn't working. They could hear the noises it made, but they couldn't see anything on the video. So I opened the door on the monitor, turned the brightness up.
Yeah.
Where'd that door come from? Well, see, page 2 of the manual, getting to know your monitor.
Oh, yeah.
One other thing I got to say, and just for, you know, because I've got a nephew right now, and God bless it, you know, I've got a nephew over in Iraq. And to all the other service folks out there, you know, we're fortunate. We're home. We're here with our families. But I wish all of you folks over there that can't be with your family and serving our country a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for what you do to keep our country safe and secure. All right, and that's it for Uncle Dave. Somebody force feed him a rum ball. We'll put him back to sleep. Get off your footy jammies. Break your mugs over his head, and we'll... And we'll put them away for another week. Yeah, eat a cookie.
He reminds me of those musicians who complained this damn guitar was tuned when I bought it.
Yeah. We're going to take yet another break, and not a moment too soon. It's time for the news, the weather, the sports, all the stuff you really listen to WHAM for. And we will be back on the other side of that with what goes on in the poll and the forums and everything else. So if you're on the line, please stay on the line. We will get to you eventually. If you're not on the line, I don't know why not. This is the most fun you can have on a Sunday morning before Christmas. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. And for better or worse, it's the Rumball edition of the greatest computer show in the known universe. That's Soundbites. Only, and probably now, ever only, on 1180 WHAM.
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
He's making a list.
I figured you'd do
checking
Alvin.
It twice. He's gonna find out.
Alvin and Chipmunk.
Oh, that's coming.
You,
don't worry.
You cut it out just before the harmony started. What's wrong with you? All right, we're back. No, it's too late now.
You found the 78 RPM of that recording. Yeah, right.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
One, two, Rob.
I haven't even had any rum balls either.
It's sound bites. All righty. Every week we talk a little bit about what goes on our website, soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Last week's poll was about Open Office and Sun Office. Have you tried them? 316 of you voted, making it number 136 on the all-time hit list. Thanks to each and every one of you. 34% of you love it. 32% think it's okay. 14% are just too lazy to try it. 11% not yet, but I'm interested. 4% no, I love Microsoft. And 12 of you lied and said yes, but you didn't like it. This week's poll comes to us from an interesting article in PC World Magazine. Their top tech disappointments of 2007. Both Leopard and Vista made the list.
Oh, geez. Really?
Well, here's what they had to say. About Leopard, they said, maybe we just got spoiled by the iPhone and the iPod, but the glow came off Steve Jobs' halo after this feline Fleabag debuted. Within days of its release last October, Mac users reported dozens of problems with the new OS, some more serious than others. Among the many, wireless connections just slowly petered away, administrative logins that mysteriously disappeared,
and a disturbing tendency to nuke data when it moved between two drives if the connection was interrupted. Worse, a security bug that was fixed in OS 10.4 in March 2006 resurfaced in Leopard. The Apple Mail vulnerability allows malicious attachments to execute code. And they go on about that. To add insult to injury, some upgrades even reported a Windows-like blue screen of death when upgrading from previous Mac OSs. In mid-November, Apple released an update to Leopard that fixed some of the bugs, including the firewall glitch. Repairing Apple's reputation, however, may take slightly longer. About Vista, they had this to say. 5 years in the making, and this is the best Microsoft could do? It's not that Vista is awful. The integrated security and parental controls are nice, and the Aero interface is as whizzy as it gets. Searching and wireless networking are much faster and easier than under XP. It's just that Vista isn't all that good. Many of the innovations the operating system was supposed to bring, like more efficient file and communication system, got tossed overboard as Microsoft struggled to get the OS out the door some 3 years after it was first promised. Despite its hefty hardware requirements, Vista is slower than XP. No wonder so many users are clinging to XP like shipwrecked sailors to a life raft, while others who made the upgrade are switching back. We have no doubt that Vista will come to dominate the PC landscape, if only because it will become increasingly hard to buy a new machine that doesn't have it pre-installed, and that's disappointing in its own right. Also in their list, the iPhone, high-definition DVD formats, voice over IP, the Zune, and Office 2007. So here's our question. What was the most disappointing tech product of 2007? The choices I gave you are the iPhone, Leopard, Office 2007, social networks, Vista, the Zune, and of course the fact that the Rob Cam is not high def. Suddenly Rob's paying attention. So far we've got 89 votes. Vista is by far the leader with 71%. Followed by the Rob Cam not being high definition with 15%.
Trust me, you don't want the Rob Cam being high definition. You know what I mean?
We have a rumor of a YouTube video.
Apparently, I haven't found it. I've looked, but, you know, it wouldn't surprise me.
If somebody finds the YouTube video,
Email us
the link or put it in the chat room or whatever.
What YouTube video is this?
There's apparently a YouTube video of Rob doing the booth.
Oh, it's of Rob.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, somewhere there's a YouTube video.
Rumble.
Yeah, there's an idea.
And once again, somebody with way too much time on their hands. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, so once you voted, which you can do, of course, at our website, soundbites.org. Francis would like to remind you that's bites with an S. You'll see at the bottom a little yellow box in there. If you click give us your opinion, it takes you to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
AskNick.com. All righty. And there you can enter your opinion up to 255 characters. And while you're there, take a look around. I put out a newsletter fairly regularly, except this last week. I have online forums where some very interesting things happen, and I answer a lot of computer questions. It's only $15 a year, cheap at half the price. All right. And then come on back to Soundbites and check out all the cool stuff we do there. We're also currently, at least until 1 o'clock, up on FNET, on IRC, if you want to join us in chat. There's a link to the web-based version, or you can grab your own IRC client and join us. But we, at the moment, are back to the phones, and our next caller is Bob from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
How you doing, guys? Merry Christmas to all you.
And Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks. A couple quick questions. My daughter is getting an iPod for Christmas.
Oh, nice.
Yes, very nice.
She's not listening, is she?
No. No, she's not. No, she's doing some homework right now. Some
at least you
vacation
hope so.
Homework. Yeah, she's got some homework to do, so she's writing her essay for the time being. But my question is, we've taken some video with our camera from the recent Hannah Montana concert, and I'd like to try to put some of that onto the iPod, and I'm having a problem. I've been able to click and drag it over. For some reason, it's not, I guess it has to be converted first. And is there a program for converting DVDs to the iPod that I should download or purchase?
For video you have on your computer already, iTunes should convert it for you. There's a convert to iPod command in iTunes.
Okay.
It's got to be a certain bit rate of a certain type of video. It does MPEG-4, it does H.264, it does the common format.
But the converter will convert it to that for you.
Right, and inside of iTunes it will convert it for you.
Now, I've done that on like one of them. It's like a two and a half minute video, and it took like almost 40 minutes to do that.
Yep.
That's how long it should take.
Depends on the size of, depends on how much RAM you have, the speed of your system, the amount of free disk space. It depends on 100 things.
And the quality you want it to do. If you degrade, there's a quality slider. If you lower the quality way down, then it won't take as long, but then it looks worse.
Right. Okay. And I guess the other
not that it ever looks all that good on an I mean, it's a 2-inch screen. It doesn't have to be super high quality.
One of the things that the iPod lets you do is plug it into a television, and it blows it up to that TV screen size, so you can use your iPod as a video transport. Yeah, we joke about the days of the accordion full of pictures falling out of your wallet.
Right.
Well, now you can have hundreds of thousands of them on your iPod.
Great, and that can fall out of your pocket.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As for DVDs, the typical program is Handbrake. And that allows you to rip the DVD into your computer so you can watch it on your computer. And it will also encode it in iPod format so you can put it on your iPod as well.
Okay, all right.
That would, of course, be only DVDs that you yourself have created, since it would be illegal to use commercial DVDs for that purpose.
However, it's there's the toss-up in the law. You're allowed to make a legal backup copy.
You're allowed to make a legal backup copy? Since when?
You're allowed to make a legal backup copy.
Maybe.
You're not allowed to break the copy protection.
You're not allowed to use that backup copy as long as you have the original.
Well, so your DVD is now the backup, and the one on your computer is the original. It's a very gray area.
Well, the point is, I'm keeping us within the law. You do what you want, but that I'm keeping us within the law by saying that.
Okay, now Handbrake, is that on your site?
Yeah, we've mentioned it in the past. It's on our link. If you Google Handbrake, you'll find it. Okay. There's another program. What's one you like, Chris? MP... Right, yeah, Handbrake does really good on video.
Handbrake is the one to rip DVDs. MPEG Stream Clip will convert video formats from one to another.
All right, so if you get MPEG 2 movie and you want to convert it to MPEG 4, then MPEG Stream Clip will do that.
Okay, all right, but Handbrake would be for, like, to put a normal DVD, like a Disney DVD that we had purchased for our kids.
Right.
Oh, great. Okay, thank you very much, guys.
Have a good holiday.
Thank you.
And again, that's probably a couple hour. Well, 2-hour movie is probably 4 hours of encoding.
it's going to be very slow, particularly if you don't have an overly fast machine.
I've had some go almost 24 hours because I cranked the quality way up and I just wanted to see what happens, but it does a great job.
Yep. Also, I suspect with a DVD, if you crank quality too high, it's not going to fit on a 4 gig.
No, they always do.
Wow.
You can always just drag copy the DVD to your computer, and it takes 8 gigs of space.
Right.
One of the things that Handbrake does is recompress it to make it smaller. The other thing it does is you can just encode the movie. You cannot do the commentary or the extras
or things like that.
So you can get a decent quality movie down to about 1 gig.
Not bad.
Yep.
Not bad. All right. Our next caller is Mike from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Yeah, I'm looking to get a new computer, and I was figuring I was going to get a laptop. But my question is, I've been looking at the tablets because I thought it'd be pretty neat that I'd be able to write out a photo and do, some measurements and that kind of stuff. But my question is, if I get a tablet, am I losing a lot of the computer?
No.
Okay.
The tablet isn't yet going to do everything you want to do. Somebody has to write all of that software. But the tough books are terrific. I personally have a Fujitsu T, I don't remember. But they're wonderful. The thing you don't have... There's nothing you don't have.
Do they have the handwriting conversion yet? You handwrite on it and it converts it to text?
Much. Yes.
Because that was a big limitation on the first
models. Well, there's Windows Journal and the other thing from Windows, OneNote. And in Windows Journal, you can write by hand, circle it and convert it to text, or you can bring up the input box and write it on there and say convert to text.
Yeah, I remember the early versions, all you could do was basically like save it as a picture.
Right. What you can't do in tablet mode easily yet... is input to a text box on a web page.
Yep.
You can, but again, it brings up that converter, you write in it, and you save it.
Can I mention another brand and ask you what you think of it?
Sure.
The Gateway 140XL.
I got to be honest, Gateway has increased their quality dramatically. There was a point when I would have told you to run as fast as you could in any direction away from a Gateway, but they have changed completely. And the product is much, much higher quality than it used to be.
Yeah, what I was looking at, it's a 14-inch versus a 12-inch, and it's also $1,000 versus $2,000.
Right.
What OS is it coming in?
Vista.
It'll work okay with Vista.
Make sure you've got 2 gigs of RAM. It's a dual 2 gigahertz processor.
Yeah, it is on both of those.
And better graphics.
Right. And if you're going to stick with XP...
Dedicated graphics, not sharing, no shared graphics.
Not sharing, dedicated graphics.
Okay.
Otherwise, go back to XP.
Okay.
Good luck.
That's true in general of any PC running Vista, not just the...
I got to tell you, I got a Gateway long ago. They made an all-in-one like the old Macs, and it was pretty poor quality, frankly. Yeah. And I wrote them off for a long time. Somebody said, you got to take a look. They've completely turned the company around.
Haven't they been purchased by someone?
They were, and I don't know who it was. But whoever it was either. Changed them. Because I stopped looking at Gateway entirely. Yeah. And has turned them around and has made them an actually pretty decent little company now. The hardware seems, at least, to be pretty decent pretty quality. Decent, I won't say it's super high quality, but it's pretty decent quality, particularly for the price.
Competitive.
Yeah.
Nick, getting back to the touch PCs, what are they called? Touch laptops? What is the proper touch term?
The tablets.
Okay, the tablet
ones where
PCs.
You can twist the
screen around.
Right, by the way, I can with my OLPC, those of you looking at the webcam.
There it is. Well, my question is going to be, can you connect a standard keyboard to these tablet PCs?
Yeah, most of the time you can.
Yeah, because they're different from a regular tablet.
USB or
the except that the screen will turn around and you can write on
PS2
it.
Port.
And it would be really cool if it were Bluetooth, so I could put a wireless.
Anything you want to buy, you can buy. It's a regular laptop,
so you can
no
use
difference.
It as a tablet as you're leaving your home.
Yep.
Come back and at home and put your keyboard on it.
Yep. Yes.
Wonderful.
In fact, the Fujitsus we have, which we bought from Bright Computers, we got them with. It's a port replicator, they call it. It's a docking station, but it's really a port replicator. So I'm out doing whatever I want to do. I bring it back. I plug it in there. I'm now on regular Ethernet, which is way faster than, I'm 100 megabit there. So it's awfully fast and rather than wireless. There's auto sync programs that you can, when I go to the dock, auto sync to my network share and blah, 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 blah. So all of those things are available. It's just a regular laptop with all that means. Plus, you can flip the screen around and write on it. Well, you don't even have to flip the screen around. When I take it into my classes, if I flip the screen around, all of a sudden, obviously, the orientation is wrong on the projector, right? So I don't even bother to turn it over. I'm just working away at it, and I'll pick up the stylus and annotate things.
The Gateway was purchased by Acer in October.
And I've always liked Acer.
There we go.
All right,
somehow Gateway ended up with the eMachine brand, too. They bought eMachine in 2004. That used to be a Mac monitor company.
Yes, it used to be. All right, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Reich, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 22 minutes after the hour. You are listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Bruce Springsteen.
What?
No, I thought he was doing it.
This is Mannheim Steamroller.
Chip Davis.
Yeah. No, at first, the very beginning, I almost thought it was the opening to Springsteen.
No, it's you, and you're the biggest Mannheim Steamroller fan in North America, and you didn't know this.
That and TSO.
And I knew it. And the last time I listened to a song, they were beating on gourds they found in the jungle.
All right,
according to Ars Technica, slackers of Illinois, Missouri are taking retail Wiis and dumping them on eBay for $400, which is $150 above the manufacturer's suggested retail price. When confronted with the breach of contract with Nintendo, a Slackers representative begrudgingly said that is something you will have to speak to the owner about. Management has not responded. Retailers are unfairly, though legally, using bundle gouging to nickel and dime gamers seeking Wiis in short supply. This is the first report of retailers bypassing retail to become resellers online, which always yields better returns. We don't have to remind retailers of the strength we have right now, said Nintendo president Reggie Fils-Aimé in a recent interview. We are simply making an observation that reinforces our point quite nicely with retailers.
Interestingly, the response
I'm going to get all kinds of mail about it. You know what? I've had a rumble. I don't really care.
The response on Slacker's website is this guy wrote a sensationalist article in which he makes a number of sweeping and factually incorrect statements. He never tried to contact me. The article is factually inaccurate, completely wrong, but other sites are picking up on it and damaging our good name. Now, if he's anything like we are, because we sell Wiis at Jesse Group, too, we get maybe one, if we're lucky, two a week. We have a waiting list, 10, 15 people long. Our distributors are requiring us to buy 4 accessories for every Wii they will let us get. So, unfortunately, we have to pass it on to our customers, too.
Right.
But most people want a second controller and some games.
I might have to talk to you about that. I played with a Wii the first time on Friday.
It's the cheapest game system, which is a big, big deal. But it's because of the motion sensor in the remote.
Holy cow, it was fun.
Yeah, it's fun, and you get a little exercise, which our kids aren't getting anymore.
Yeah. We were boxing, and I'm telling you, we were all sweating by the end of it.
Yeah.
Well, and the bowling and everything. I mean,
we're anxiously anticipating the Star Wars game.
The Star Wars game.
Where you can actually swing your lightsaber around. You know, on the other side, we're hearing some complaints about Nintendo artificially limiting production so that they can drive the prices up.
Well, duh.
But it was the same thing last Christmas.
Yeah, same
and
thing.
And people forget that. In the year in between, they haven't been able to ramp up their production. That's what makes us believe it even more, that they're artificially limiting it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I may have to talk about getting on that list. We'll see. It was just so much fun, and it was exercise, and God knows we all need that.
Yep.
All right, our next caller is Andy from Greece, New York. Welcome, Andy. What's your question?
Hi, guys.
Hello there.
Hi, Andy.
Merry Christmas to all.
And the same to you.
I had a couple points, but when you started talking about your weekly survey, I feel like Uncle Dave and you wound me up here.
See, I have this adverse effect of...
Yeah. No, I don't think it's it. And I haven't even had a Rumball. Although you talk so much about them, I got to try one of those.
We could auction some.
Office 07 is probably the most arbitrary and capricious update I have ever encountered.
That was also big on Office 07.
Oh, yeah.
That was big on the PC Magazine's most disappointed list.
I mean, it makes Vista look okay.
Yeah.
Isn't it the only version of Office that's compatible with Vista?
No, you can run the other versions.
Well, yeah, but is it compatible?
Yeah, you're right.
Well, that's another question.
Yeah.
At this point, I don't know. I just know that I was working for a gentleman, and he handed me a laptop, and he had Vista and Office 07 put on it. And I never spent more time looking for things that I knew were in the program and had been in the program for years, and they had buried so deep on menus that they became obscure features.
What
it was just regular stuff.
Yes, what they've done is made the assumption that every user of a Microsoft computer is abysmally stupid. They may be correct, but I don't think they are.
Yeah.
And, well, they know their constituency well more than we do. Right?
It just reduces their customers' level of some of their programmers, but we won't go into that.
Well, right. And so they've only put easily accessible on those ribbon bars the things that really simple people use.
The thing of it is, though, is their programmers haven't seen daylight in a couple of years because they've had them locked up for how long? 5 years?
Right.
Didn't get in touch with the actual human beings. They
and
have
this
to
is
use
what you came
the
up
machines.
With after 5 years? Right. David Pogue had an interesting video rant on one of his podcasts. He opens Office 2007 and turns on every toolbar.
And can't write.
Right. What fills up the screen so much, there's one line of space left to write in.
Yeah. And that's
so
my
many
problem.
Buttons.
That's my problem with those ribbon bars. I'm a writer. I want to see more of my text, not more of your nonsense.
How many people still use WordPerfect, which opens up to a blank screen? No buttons, no toolbars, nothing.
Yep.
Okay, guys, just so I don't tie up a lot of other people's times, what I actually called about was Super Anti-Spyware. David asked a question a couple weeks ago about running it before you ran SpyBot and Adware.
Yeah.
I have done that. I've run it both with and without safe mode, and I get no difference in the results.
Okay.
But if I run Super Anti-Spyware first, Adware and SpyBot, at least on my machine, don't find anything.
Okay.
So I'm pretty happy with that.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
And the other people who called in where they're trying to find a process that's running on the machine and giving a problem or whatever, one of the features in Super Anti-Spyware is that you can right-click on the icon in the system tray, and one of the features comes up is find out what's running on my machine. You click on it, it takes a minute or so to run, but it comes back and gives you an itemized list of every process running on your machine, what program it's attached to, which is nice because you look at the process bar and it doesn't tell you that. And then it'll tell you the stuff that it knows is legal, stuff that it knows is really bad, and then stuff that it's not too sure about.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Scanner software it wasn't too sure about.
I told you, I'm liking this product more and more, and it does a pretty good job.
I'm going to have to dust off my window machine and play with this thing.
Yeah, I'm liking it so far.
Andy, I thank you very much. It sounds like you've done quite a bit of homework and appreciates it. I appreciate it very much.
We
and,
all
you
do.
Know, it just sort of reinforces, you know, what I'm trying to preach to the folks out there and, you know, and try to give them the best utilities that we try to do as sound bites here. And they're free.
Yeah. You know, I do have one question. It just may be a peculiarity of my computing situation. I run it from my account. It goes through and it finds all the tracking cookies and things that it doesn't like.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, they all show up under my wife's user ID.
Right. You have to run all of the Tango, basically, all the anti-spyware security programs in each account separately.
Andy, one other thing, though, you might have to do, which I'll admit is one of the downfalls of it, that if you go into your wife's account, okay, and you click on the Super Anti-Spyware program, you know how it'll put the bug down the lower right-hand corner?
Right.
Open the program up, go into the right-hand side preferences, and you'll see on the left-hand side there is a box that says check, and you got to put a check mark in there to start on startup.
Oh, no, no. It when I run it, it finds all the bugs and everything. But the only bugs and things it finds are under my wife's...
Yeah, well, that's true with any of the Adware and SpyBot.
Running it as his wife. He's running
it
as him.
It from my account.
And everything he finds comes up in his wife's name.
And it shows the directory where it was found, and it's all under the documents.
Did you install it under her ID?
And it has her ID. I'm running Windows Pro 2000 with all the service packs. And it just either she's going to places she shouldn't, or I'm not going to places I should.
You two should talk a little more.
I haven't played with it enough to know what that's about, but we'll look into that.
Well, the next thing I'm going to do is try and run it from the administrator account and see what it does.
That's an idea.
But
Let us know, Andy. You're our
checks them all.
ASA guy.
Yeah.
SAS.
Appreciate it, Andy. Thank you. Like I said, though, it does do a very thorough job. Like I say, that's why I'm asking for other folks' input to... And I'm finding that if I run it on one ID, it goes through to the other users in the documents and settings folder, which a lot of the others don't.
Well, they're not supposed to have access to the other users' folders. Maybe it's if you have the file sharing turned on to let other users share those files.
I don't know, and that's what you're trying to learn more about. That's why I asked for input from the listeners.
Cool. Yeah.
Cool. More, well, let's check that out. I seem to have somehow lost my network connection. Oh, I bet it's... Yep, that's what it was. Well, I've got the clip is broken off of the end of this thing. And
whoever invented that clip should be shot.
Yeah, should be shot dead.
All right. Clips it into the thing, but it's so easy to break because they always get tangled.
The problem's not the clip, it's what it's made of.
Right. All right, our next caller is Henry from Brighton, New York. Welcome, Henry. What's your question?
Hi. Actually, my question is related to the previous callers. First of all, what you were saying about running SpyBot, not taking out the spyware from another account, if you run it as the administrator, my account is the administrator, wouldn't that take care of all the accounts?
Nope.
It doesn't?
Nope.
Because I have run SpyBot and seen my wife, some things in my wife's account appear on the list of things that have been identified as being spyware.
Some stuff it will, some it won't.
Yeah, it's part of the user protection built into Windows and the Mac. Similarly, but you can't see someone else's files, even if you're the administrator. There's a lower user called the root.
Yeah.
What is it called? Ring Zero on Windows? That does have access to everything. And that's how a lot of malware gets into the PC, is it accesses it as that Ring Zero user.
When I'm running SpyBot, I have Adware, and I purchased that one, so it runs automatically. It's got all the features where it's running automatically. But SpyBot, I'm running the free version where I have to run it manually. And basically the same items keep coming up. You know, I run it once a week, basically. And the same items keep coming up each week. Can it be run in such a way that it doesn't allow things that have been identified?
To pay for the ad watch protection the real-time protection to stop new things from coming in. Some of the spyware is so common and so pervasive that you run your anti-spy program and you're clean.
Everywhere.
Yeah, you open one web page and it's back in.
Okay. See, I have a lot of disks on my machine, so when it runs, it actually takes a long time. And that touches on the previous question I had, which was that if all the accounts on my machine are running these spyware programs, they're going to be running a large fraction of the time. If I have like four accounts.
Right. And so it may be worth it to get the paid version of it that can run in real time and preventing things to get in.
Does that slow the machine down when you're running it? If it's running in real time and stopping things from coming in?
A little bit, yeah. But maybe not as much as you taking 2 days to scan every account with every hard drive.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, what's your joke, Dave? You know, someone asks you to come to do an in-home cleanup, and what are you having for dinner?
Yeah, I usually ask him what they're... Because I won't do it.
Well, my wife's a great cook, though. She might want to come over.
I'm always open to negotiation.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.
Right, bye.
Bye.
All right, thanks. Yeah, I got knocked off, but I'm back on.
We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Reich, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Reich.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, you are listening to Soundbite.
It's a spectacular light show.
It's an awesome show.
Oh, I love it. I've gone, what, 3 years in a row now?
I don't know.
TSO. And they put on a great show.
Good.
Unbelievable.
Apple rumor site is shutting down. Apple and a popular website that published company secrets about the Mac, the iPhone, and the iPod have reached a settlement that calls for the site to shut down. Apple and the site, ThinkSecret.com, settled a suit which Apple filed in January 2005 and no sources were revealed. College student Nick Ciarelli, ThinkSecret's publisher, said he plans to move on. He started the site at the age of 13.
Yeah.
I'm pleased to have reached this amicable settlement and will now be able to move forward with my college studies and broader journalistic pursuits, he said in his statement. Apple filed its suit after ThinkSecret published details of a stripped-down Macintosh computer called the Mac Mini 2 weeks before the product launched formally. We are pleased to reach this amicable settlement and happy to leave this behind us, an Apple spokes individual said.
I like the statement on ThinkSecret's site. I'm pleased that the settlement was reached. They're not going to take my money, and all I have to do is shut down the site.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and you used the word amicable far too many times in that article
Apple
to make me think it's real.
Yeah, right. Apple used it and this kid used it.
Methinks thou dost protest too much.
Right.
Yeah, they're not going to sue me anymore. They're not going to take my money. I'm not going to jail. I can go back to college.
Yeah, right.
That's a pretty good deal for me.
That's a deal. Yeah. That's
and really, Apple doesn't want to be known as that big a bad guy about a kid who started a site when he was 13 years old.
Yeah, hello.
You know,
They want to track down the guy that leaked the confidential.
Yeah, they really don't care
secrets.
About this kid. Yeah. They truly don't care about him. They wanted to get the guy at the other end.
Mm-hmm. We have heard stories that Apple intentionally releases fake information down their employee chain. Yeah, just to find out who did it. Yeah.
Right. What they tend to do is they have 5 or 6 or 8 bits of fake information. And they mix and match them in such a way that you can track back where they came from.
IBM was notorious for that in the days when they were in the market.
Yep. So, yeah, I'm sure they already know who the leak was in each and every case. All right, our next caller is Tim from Webster, New York. Welcome, Tim. What's your question?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Nice to talk to you. I listen to your podcast every week.
Thank you.
My question is about, I have a SpeedStream 6520, a DSL account.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told by someone that there's a hardware firewall and a router, and I don't need one on either of my computers. One is connected directly through Ethernet, and the other one is wireless. Is that true? Do I not need a software firewall on my computers?
There's two things here. If there is a firewall in the router, and you can verify that with a thing we call the manual.
Easier than that is check the IP address on your computer. If you have a private IP address, 192.something or other, then you're behind a private NAT
firewall.
Or 10 dot something. If you have a public IP address, 66.something, 24.something, then you do not have a firewall.
But if you have a firewall, that will protect you in many ways easier than putting one on each machine because anything you want to configure, you can configure on the firewall.
Right.
The problem is that's a standard firewall and will protect you from things coming in, but won't protect you from things going out, which a firewall like Zone Alarm will.
Okay, so I think I heard was, if my IP address is 192-something, then there is a hardware firewall on the router.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, I can actually have a Zone Alarm is what I use on my computers, which will protect from stuff going out, but it won't offer any additional protection for stuff coming in.
It will. It will protect just as well as the firewall.
Yep.
But the firewall will stop most of the stuff from coming in.
And the information we gave you is a little bit less than fully correct. The address comes from a NAT server, a network address translation server.
A NAT router.
Which doesn't necessarily imply a firewall. You really have to look at the manual to determine whether or not you have a firewall.
In most cases, if the router doesn't have a firewall, it will almost always have a NAT. And a lot of times NAT can be better than a firewall in the router. But you still want to run a firewall on your own computer, too.
Right.
In fact,
it doesn't hurt to run one. It's Is it essential? Probably not if you have one in the router, but should you? Probably.
Doesn't hurt.
Yeah. The other thing that most of the NAT routers, you know, broadband routers that you would buy, have in them is the ability to share a single DSL or cable connection with multiple computers, and it does that through the NAT process. Even if you only have one computer on your network, it's often a good idea to have a NAT router, because then you get a private address, and that can block a lot of things from getting into your system.
So does running Zone Alarm take up a lot of cycles time while it's slowed down my computers? Or
how old is your machine, and how much RAM do you have?
I have 1.9 gigahertz machine and 2 gig of RAM.
No, you'll hardly notice it. No, it's not a big deal for you. Not at all. All right, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple... Oh, we have a, you know, a caller from another country. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you at Soundbites. It's 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 54 minutes after the hour, it's the Rumble edition of Soundbites. Yes.
It's a new drinking game, except we're drinking Rumballs.
We're just eating. All right, no. Maybe afterwards on the, for the ride home or whatever. Our next caller is Dar from Toronto, Canada. Welcome, Dar. What's your question?
How you doing, gentlemen? Great show as always.
Thank you.
Now, you were talking about the Asus.
Yes.
And the other guy said about the tablet.
Yep.
Well, the Wii Asus, the EEE PC.
Yeah.
Or as I like to call it, the ET.
Yeah.
There's a guy in the blog spot. He has actually added a touch panel to the little thing.
Wow.
Yeah. It's entitled, How to Add Touch Panel to Asus EEE PC.
Cool.
How cool is that?
Honest. And another guy, he's actually stuck a little LED nightlight in the top corner.
Well, that was, I think, wasn't that one of the early things? It doesn't have a backlight in it to help it maintain battery life.
Right. So, well, see, now this is the thing. When you can buy a computer for a couple of $100, you don't mind playing around with it.
Yeah.
If you ruin it, I'll buy another one. What a great thing. I want an EE PC, but...
It's worth it. Honest to God, it is a hoot.
Do you have one?
You betcha.
Okay, I hate you now.
Hey, invite me over for some rum balls. We'll bring it with me.
There you go. And if we give you enough rum balls, you'll leave it behind.
Leave it behind.
Yeah, it may be my next purchase next year, but I had to do the one laptop per child because I got to send one to Nigeria, and that made me a happy man. So
where they can use it to do a 419 scam.
Yeah, right. Dear sir, thank you for my OLPC. I am a Nigerian prince. Yeah, right. All right, well, thank you, Dar, and keep on listening and find out why we're not on the air locally there, will you? Thanks. Yeah, I just hung up on you. Our next caller is Don from Pittsburgh. Welcome, Don. What's your question?
Well, I was wondering if you have ever heard of a laptop with reversible video. I would like to plug it into a server and use it as a monitor. Is there such an animal?
You can sort of do that with remote desktop connection. On any other computer, see that screen from
not
another screen.
Not going remote, but, you know, plugging the monitor cable into the back of the server's video card and running it into the laptop, using the laptop display as a monitor.
Yeah, you'd plug the laptop into the network the server is on and remote desktop into the server. So you'd see the server's
green
images
on
your laptop.
Well, I was looking for something more along the lines, you know, when the...
No, I know what you're asking. I don't know the laptop that will reverse the video in that way.
Some laptops and even some desktops have a video in on them, and then you open up like a video capture card as if you were capturing a TV show, and you would see that remote video source.
Why would you want to
do that? Video
but I don't know that you can control the keyboard in
no,
that
you
way.
No, you won't be able to, but
and
you can see the video.
The way you can with
well, you'd
remote
control
desktop.
Well, you'd control the keyboard and mouse on that server and just... use the laptop as a screen with the video in on the laptop.
Well, I suppose that would work, yes.
Yeah. Or buy a cheap monitor.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay. So it is possible if the computer has a video in And you'd use a video capture program on that computer to monitor and watch that video in source.
That would be the only way to do it.
Yeah, it's not common on laptops. It can be added easily, and it's typically added, you know, for TV purposes, to watch TV on the computer.
Right. All right, we are done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to apologize to all those of you to whom we did not get. You can always leave your questions in the forum. Somebody will answer them at some point, eventually, somewhere. I want to thank Dave Enright for bringing in the Rumballs.
Thank you.
I want to thank Steve Ray for bringing in Chris Wright. I want to thank Chris Wright for everything he does for us. I want to thank Rob Linton for... It'll come to me.
Think of something for next year.
And I want
in the spirit of this holiday season, I won't tell you what I'm thinking.
But I can see it in your face. I want to thank each and every one of you for sharing this Christmas Eve with us. We have one more show for 2008, so I'll get more maudlin then.
2007.
Thanks for 2007. Who the hell do I care?
Rumble.
I'm Nick Francesco. It's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.